Good morning. The topic for this morning, the last in the series, is Tfilas Haderech. And a rather timely one, I think, for this time of year. People are going away on the road, and all sorts of questions come up as to what sort of trip requires Tfilas Haderech, how is it done. There are certain assumptions, I think, that we tend to make about Tfilas Haderech that aren't necessarily entirely accurate. So let's take a look at this tefillah. And the first thing that comes up, and in general I should note, that this is not intended as psak, ask your shul rabbi for practical issues, but I think this will give us the lexicon in order to know what the issues are, at least that we should be talking about. But let's take a look at the origin of tefillas haderach first, because it's a bit unusual. It's not quite as clear-cut as one might expect. If you take a look at source number one, you find a Mishnah in Brachos, which says, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, HaHolech b'makom sakana mispalal tefila ketzara, someone who travels in a dangerous place should daven a short tefila, v'omer saying, Hosha Hashem asamchaz shevis Yisrael, God save your nation, the remnant of Israel, ... Baruch atah Hashem shomea tefila, blessed are you God, you are blessed God who hears prayer. That's not Tfilas Haderech. Generally, we assume that is actually talking about a completely different issue, which is, what if you're traveling somewhere, you want to daven shachris, mincha, whatever it is, but you are in danger, you feel like it's not a safe place, so here's an abbreviated version of Shemona Esrei for you to say. But in the comments in the Gemara on that Mishnah, in source number 2, we get the following statement. Kol hayotze laderech, tzarech lehespalal tefilas haderech. Anybody going out on the road must say tefilas haderech. Well, that was pretty good. Then now we know where tefilas haderech comes from. My tefilas haderech, what is tefilas haderech? Yehi ratzon lefanecha Hashem Elokai, shetolicheni l'shalom, v'satzideni l'shalom, v'sismacheni l'shalom, that you bring me in peace, that you make me walk along the way, direct my steps toward peace, that you support me toward peace, v'tatzileni mikaf kol orei v'orei baderech, guard me or save me from all enemies, from ambushes on the road, v'sishlach brach v'maseh yadai, send a blessing to my handiwork. And please provide me with favor in the eyes of yourself and in the eyes of all who see me. Baruch atah Hashem shomea tefila. Blessed are you, God, who hears prayer. That's pretty close to our tefillas haderech. What's the big difference between that and ours? Besides, you're right, there are some words missing in this that we have, but what's the big difference? Singular. Right? Our tefillas haderech is plural. Shetolichenu l'shalom, v'satzidenu l'shalom, v'sagiyenu l'shalom, v'sagiyenu l'mchaz chavtenu l'shalom, and so on. We do it in the plural, and we do that because of the concluding line in this Gemara, in source number 2, Amar Abaye says, La'olam lishtef inish nafshei bahadei tzibura. One should always join himself with the community. We daven in the plural, not just for ourselves, but for everybody. So in Shemona Esrei, right, all of the requests that we make in Shemona Esrei are worded in the plural. Right, we take perfectly good psukim that are the basis for each bracha that are worded in the singular, and we pluralize them. So, for example, the bracha of Rifa'enu is built around a pasuk in Yirmiyah, which goes, Rifa'eni Hashem ve'erafei, heal me, God, and I will be healed. Hoshi'eni ve'ivashaya, save me and I will be saved. Kisi hilasi ataf, because you are my glory. And we pluralize it to make the bracha. Rifa'enu Hashem v'nerafei, hoshi'enu v'nivashaya, kisi laseinu ata. We are pluralizing it because Abaye says that's the way a Jew is supposed to pray. You pray on behalf of everybody, not just on behalf of your personal needs. So that's the version that appears in the Bavli in the course of a discussion about prayer in a case of danger. Source number 3 is the Rishalmi's version, which is wildly different. Kishayotze, when a person leaves the city, Omer, he says, Yehiratzom lefanach Hashem Elokai shetotzi'eni mikrach ze l'shalom. God, may it be your will that you take me out of this city in peace, or to peace. Yatza, once he has left the city, Omer, he says, Moda ani lefanach Hashem Elokai, thank you God, shotzi'eni l'shalom, that you for bringing me out in peace. And May it be your will that you bring me to my home in peace, or lemakom ploni, to my destination in peace. That's what one should say, and the Rishonim concludes that it's only said in a non-Jewish area. The feeling is that in a Jewish area you will be safer, and therefore there's no need for this bracha. Whether that's so or not is a separate point. But source number three says Yerushalmi's version is rather different from our version. What's the main difference between the Yerushalmi version and our version? Besides the fact that all the words are missing? Something else? Split up in two parts, good. One before leaving the city and one after. It's missing something. How does it end? No bracha. Right? It doesn't say Baruch Atah Hashem Shemei Atfila. It doesn't say Baruch Atah Hashem at all. That's interesting. Especially when you look at source number four, which is the Rambam's formulation in Hilchos Brachos, Laws of Blessings. Note, the Rambam is including this in the Laws of Blessings, not in the Laws of Tefillah. That's going to be important later on. But the Rambam says, Ukshivakesh Latzeis, when one wishes to leave, Omer, he says, Yuatom Fanach Hashem Elokai Shetotzi Eini Mikrach Zela Shalom. That's the Yerushalmi's version, right? That you take me out of the city to peace. Vim Yatza B'Shalom, having left in peace, Omer, he then says, Modani Lefanach Hashem Elokai Shotzi Sani Mikrach Zela Shalom. Ukshim Shotzi Sani Le Shalom, and just as you brought me out to peace, Kach Talichenu Le Shalom, Vesatzi Deini Shalom, Vesams Vesismacheni Le Shalom, language now from the Bavli. So may you bring me in peace, so may you guide my steps in peace, so may you support me to peace, and save me from all enemies on the road. The Rambam's edition has elements of the Bavli that we saw in source number 2, but the basic structure is the Yerushalmi structure from source number 3, including the fact that it does not end Baruch Atah Hashem. The Rambam would look at me saying Tfilas HaDerech and say, what do you think you're doing? That's not the way it's supposed to be. So the question now is, so what happened? Why does the Rambam have a version that's different from the one that appears in the good old Babylonian Talmud? So the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo, commenting on the tour, noted this and was surprised. A couple of answers are offered. The Pri Chadash is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. And the Pri Chadash says that the Rambam contends that that putting a bracha on the end is specifically for a case of danger. That's when you're supposed to say a bracha at the end, Baruch Atah Hashem. There is a bracha that you say when you're going on the road, just because you're going on the road, and then there is a bracha that you say when you're actually in danger. And this isn't it. That's the idea. And he says that fits with the fact that source number 2, which had the bracha, came in the context of a discussion about what happens in a case of danger. That's what they were talking about. As opposed to a generic bracha for travel, which isn't necessarily when you feel like you're in danger. That's the Pri Chadash's suggestion. The Tzafnas Paneach, Rav Yosef Rosen, also known as the Rogachever, writing on the Rambam's Laws of Tefillah, says, no, I can offer a different answer. Take a look at source number 5. In source number 5, the Rambam talks about the Berachas HaShachar, the brachas we make in the morning. We tend to organize the brachas we make in the morning and say them all as part of Shachris. Right? That's what we do, I think. But the Rambam doesn't do that. The Rambam follows the way that it's presented Talmudically, which is each bracha of the Berachas HaShachar is associated with a particular activity. You open your eyes, you say Pokeach Ivrim. You put on clothing, you say Malbish Arumim, and so on. So the Rambam writes, when one puts on a belt, you say the bracha that God girds us with strength. You put on shoes, is his version. And when you're going to go on the road, you make the bracha that God prepares a person's steps. The point is, that takes care of the need for a bracha. I don't need a bracha with Tfilas HaDerech, because Hamechin Mitzarei Gaber took care of it. You follow? That's the idea that the Rogachever of Yosef Rosen, the Tzavnas Paneach, suggested to explain what happened to the bracha according to the Rambam. What follows from that is that the Rambam is not going to like our Tfilas HaDerech, leading some to suggest that indeed, maybe we should not do Tfilas HaDerech with a bracha. Maybe it should be included in Shema Koleinu and Shemona Esrei instead. And the Sanzer Rebbe, in fact, did that. That tends not to be what we do. But there are those who have done it that way for that reason. We generally follow the Bavli. The Bavli's version is what's written in the Torah and in the Shulchan Aruch. But we also have a practice of adding things at the end of Tfilas HaDerech, right? What do we add? One pasuk, three psukim, various psukim. There are different editions. In different siddurim, you will find different psukim to say. Some editions have the pasuk from when Yaakov encounters a camp of angels before his before the meeting with Esav and so on, and it says V'Yaakov alach l'darko v'yifkei uvo malachei Elokim. And they'll say it three times. Some people will say Berachas Kohanim. Some people will say Shir Hamalos, Esoi Nael HaHorim, I turn to God for my help, or Mima Amakim. Some people will say Hashem Tzvakos Imanu Miskav Lanu. None of those appear in the Gemara in association with Tfilas HaDerech. None of that is there. Where is it from? So, whenever you want to know the origin of a tefillah, it's a very good idea to check the Sefer Avudraham, written by Rav David Avudraham in the 14th, 15th centuries in Spain. And he often will give you the sources for what we do in davening. So here, in source number 6, after presenting Tfilas HaDerech, he then says, there's a passage in Yerushalmi, Begersina B'Yerushalmi, Hurricane Omd, in the 5th chapter in Maseches Brachos, Rabbi Chizkiah says, B'Shem Rabbi Yaakov Baracha, in the name of Rabbi Baracha, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, I cut out all the names in the translation, La'olam Ayi Pasuk Zez Zaz Mipicha. This pasuk should never leave your mouth. Never leave your mouth here does not mean you shouldn't say it. It means it should never be gone from your mouth. We just had a Yeshiva Ben Hazmanim program for Or Chaim students, and so I took the shiur and I gave part of it there to them first, and someone pointed out that in the translation, saying it should never leave your mouth sounds like you shouldn't say it. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is it should never budge from your mouth. You should always say this pasuk. And what is the pasuk? Hashem Tzvakos Imanu Miskav Lanu Elokei Yaakov Sela, that God is a fortress for us, He protects us. And then a second pasuk, Hashem Tzvakos Ashrei Adam Bateach Bach, fortunate is the one who trusts you, God. Right? These are nice pasukim that you should always say. Now the Avudraham says, regarding Tfilas HaDerech, the Rishami that he's quoting is not talking about Tfilas HaDerech at all. Is just saying a person should always be relying on God. In a case of danger, you certainly want to have these psukim in your mouth. We append it to Tfilas HaDerech, as does the Avudraham, because we say, well, this is a good time to talk about Hashem's protection. But what that means is it's not core to the bracha. So if a person is in a situation where they can't say a whole litany of things, but they can say the bracha, they should say the bracha. And they don't need to worry about the psukim. The psukim are not core to Tfilas HaDerech. That's the idea. They're a good thing to say. Why not? But as you'll see in various siddurim, there are all sorts of different things. And if you have a siddur that only has the paragraph, or that has the paragraph in one pasuk and it doesn't have the other psukim, don't panic. That's basically the message here. Okay. We've discussed now a little bit about the origin of it. The Rambam's position that seems to say we don't have Tfilas HaDerech in our form, and the fact that we do say it. Yes.
So if we do have time to say it and it is in our siddur, should we be like,
yeah,
is it something we should be saying?
I would think so, yeah. As the Yerushalmi does say, you know, these are good psukim to be saying.
Yeah. In general, but they just put it.
Yeah, there. Correct. So, how do we define going out on the road? What does going out on the road actually mean? So, if you take a look at source number 7, you find the Shulchan Aruch, which comes from Rashi, who's quoting the Baal Halachas Gedolos from the 9th century. It's found in various early authorities. Omer Osa Achar Shehechzik Baderech. One says it after starting out on the road, and we're going to come back to that phrase in a little bit. Ve'ein la'omra elem ken yesh la'lelech parsa. One should only say it if he's going to travel a parsa. A parsa is basically 4 kilometers. Roughly, not precisely, but basically 4 kilometers. If you're traveling less than that, then do not say it with Baruch Atah Hashem. You're free to say the rest of it. You're just calling on Hashem for help. That's always a nice thing to do. But Baruch Atah Hashem is unique to a situation where you're traveling more than a parsa. Now, 4 kilometers is not terribly far, right? I leave town, I travel 4 kilometers, I haven't really gone anywhere. So is that really our standard? So there's a work called the Zichron Yehuda, a halachic work from, I believe, the 19th century, who suggested that, in fact, it's not about the distance, it's about the time. Meaning, the Gemara has a discussion, it's a Gemara in Pesachim, about how long it takes a person to walk a meal. A meal is 2,000 amos, about a kilometer. And there's some debate as to how to read that Gemara. It's either 18 minutes or 22 and a half minutes or 24 minutes. But as a matter of halacha, where this becomes relevant halachically, we assume it's 18 minutes is the time it takes to walk a meal. A parsa is 4 meal. So therefore, a trip of a parsa is a 72-minute trip. 18 times 4 being 72. So, the Zichron Yehuda suggests, in our day, we can travel with trains, we can travel with cars, although he's pre-car, he's post-steam engine. But he says, you know, we don't take a trip of 4 kilometers and say, Tefillas HaDerech, that's silly. It's a trip that would take 72 minutes. That's what requires Tefillas HaDerech. That's the position of the Zichron Yehuda, and Rav Avadia Yosef follows that position as well. He points out this is a bracha, and when you're in doubt as to whether to make a bracha with Hashem's name or not, better not to make it with Hashem's name. So he says 72 minutes is good. Yes?
No, I was just thinking many years ago, 72 minutes may not take you that far, but now 72 minutes can take you to the
exactly.
Different country.
Exactly. And that is the point that Rav Wozner makes in response. The position that we've just articulated, time, not distance, is opposed by the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says no. One parsa is one parsa. That's 4 kilometers, that's it. Rav Shmuel Wozner, in his Shevet Halevi, says it's nonsense. He says, if you're going to tell me that you only make it for a trip of 72 minutes, exactly the point you're making, he says, you could take a short flight that's less than 72 minutes. You're not going to say Tefillas HaDerech when you're riding on a plane? He says, how could that be? I've heard of people who don't, who say, nah, it's not a dangerous trip, and so on. But generally speaking, we do assume that one does it for a flight. And he says, you can't tell me 72 minutes is now the minimum threshold. Unacceptable. He says, it's distance, not time. So any time your trip is more than 4 kilometers outside of town, you're making Tefillas HaDerech. It's a running debate. And as I said before, this is one of those issues where it is a debate, and you should ask your posek as to what your posek recommends. My sense is that the majority of people at this point take the view that it's time rather than distance, and say a 72-minute trip rather than, say, 4 kilometers. One question, though, that's fascinating that comes up in the course of this discussion is, what if I'm always going to be within one parsa of a town? Even if you take the distance measure, I could get on the 401 and drive east of here rather far before I would get to a spot where I was not within 4 kilometers of a town. I mean, I couldn't get from where I am to the town directly. I'd have to go north off of the highway. But I could be within 4 kilometers, as the crow flies, of a town for a very good stretch. So at what point am I saying Tefillas HaDerech? Right? Do I need to say Tefillas HaDerech at all? If I drive, I think I could drive from here to Hamilton, for example, without being more than 4 kilometers from a town. Is that not correct? Right? My geography is not so great, but I think so. I wonder if you could even go west from here, go around Lake Ontario, like if you were going onto the QEW heading to the U.S., right? Heading east on the QEW. I wonder how far you would have to go before you would be out of 4 kilometer range of a town. So the Mishnah Berurah entertains this point in source number 8. He says, Vilech Ora, apparently, Lafizet, based on this requirement that you be a parsa away, that you be traveling a parsa outside of town, Afilu im yesh lo lisa parsa biyachad, achshu noseya haparsa derech ezeir. Even if you're traveling a parsa, but you're going to be going through a town in doing so, Oshe yodeya sheezeir krova bitzad derech nisiyaso besoch parsa, or you know that another city is within a 4 kilometer distance of your road, Gam kilo yomer tefillas haderech b'chasima, then you shouldn't say tefillas haderech with a baruch atah Hashem ending. D'haleka makom sakanta, because you're not in danger. That's one view. V'afshur de lo patru, rakim kol derech nesiyaso, haya pachos mi parsa. But on the other hand, maybe no. Maybe you're only exempt if your trip is less than a parsa long. And we don't care about the villages that are within 4 kilometers of your path. Maybe it's as simple as, is your trip taking you more than a parsa once you've left your city or not? So this is actually subject, again, to a machlokes. The Shevet Halevi, Rav Wasner, argues that the definition is it dangerous or not? And he says, even if you're within 4 kilometers of another town, if you're on a highway, it's dangerous. People get into accidents. To which the response is, of course, I know what everybody here is thinking. You get you're in danger of an accident in your own town too, right? Statistically, more accidents occur within whatever number of miles of your home. Now, that's a misleading statistic, right? Why is that true?
That's what you're normally traveling.
Right, because most of your travel is within a certain radius from your house. That's why most accidents will occur there. But that notwithstanding, you could easily make the argument that traveling past, say, the intersection of Bathurst and Finch is more dangerous than traveling a random 4 kilometer stretch on the 401. So maybe the argument should be made that you should say Tevilas HaDerech in town. And I've heard people make that argument. But the Shevet Halevi's point is that he wants to expand where you are saying Tevilas HaDerech to include even where you are within 4 kilometers of a town. As long as you are more than 4 kilometers out of your town. That's his point here.
So you have to be more than 4 kilometers out to say Tevilas HaDerech?
Right, good question. Good question. That's actually what I want to hit now. The answer in brief is that it's you say Tevilas HaDerech for a trip that will take you more than 4 kilometers out of your town, but you say Tevilas HaDerech once you're out on the road. Even before the 4 kilometer mark. And that's the next source. If you take a look at source number 9. Amos Matzli, the Gemara asks, when does one daven? When do you say Tfilas HaDerech? Amar Rabbi Yaakov says, quoting Rav Chisda, Misha'a Shemahalech Baderech. Once you're already out on the road, that's when you're going to say Tfilas HaDerech, and you do not need to be 4 kilometers out of your town at all. And one may say it until a parsa remains to your destination. So in other words, if I'm taking a trip of 100 kilometers, so I can say at the moment I leave my town, until I am within 4 kilometers of the destination. Once I'm within 4 kilometers of the destination, then it's too late. The Gemara also says it's best to stop in order to say it. Now, by the way, that point that we just made, you say it once you're out on the road, those who say to include it in Shemona Esrei that morning are clearly going against that. They're saying, we, like the Rambam, are unsure about this whole Tfilas HaDerech thing, and therefore we're going to say it in Shemona Esrei, and yes, it means that we lose that element of saying it once you're out on the road. That's so. If you take a look at source number 9, where we left off, they discuss the question of how you say it, meaning do you have to stop traveling in order to say it? And here we get a Gemara, which is important for many different areas of halacha. Behechi matzlila. How do you say this? Rav Chisda Omar me'umad. Rav Chisda said you say it while standing. He doesn't mean literally standing. What he means is you stop traveling. That's the idea. Rav Sheshes Amar, Afilu Mahalech. Rav Sheshes says, no, even when you are traveling, you can still say Tfilas HaDerech. And then we get a story involving these two sages, Rav Chisda and Rav Sheshes, who had the debate. In order for the story to make sense, you have to realize that Rav Sheshes was blind. That figures into this. So, Rav Chisda and Rav Sheshes Havuka Azli Ba'orcha. Rav Chisda and Rav Sheshes are both traveling on the road. Come Rav Chisda, Vekama Azli. Rav Chisda stopped to say Tfilas HaDerech. Amar le Rav Sheshes Lisham A. Rav Sheshes says to his servant, Maika Avid Rav Chisda, what's Rav Chisda doing? Because he's blind, he can't see, he doesn't know what Rav Chisda's doing. He hears something that lets him know something is up. So, Maika Avid Rav Chisda, what is Rav Chisda doing? Amar le Kaivala Umatsli. So he tells him he halted and now he's davening. Amar le, to which he responds, Okman Nami Lidi Diva Atsli, stop me as well, halt my camel, donkey, whatever it is, I'm going to daven too. Granted, I don't believe that you have to stop. Mihios tov alti kare ra. Given the chance to be good, don't be called bad. Right? Meaning it's not going to cost me anything. I'm traveling with Rav Chisda anyway. He stopped. So why don't I say that? Why don't I do the same thing? This is an important point because it's brought as a halachic position in various debates. Basically, when you deal with any issue where someone says, well, that's a chumrah, that's a stringency, you don't really need to do it. If it's not going to cost me anything, so what's the big deal? Let me do that. As long as I recognize where halacha requires and where it's just something that I'm adding on, because you have to know the difference. It will matter in various circumstances. But if you do know the difference, so gesundheit, go ahead, do this extra step. And that's what he says here. He says, I'll do as Rav Chisda is doing. Okay, sorry. Yeah. So that's what Rav Sheshes does. Now, why does Rav Chisda want you to stop in order to daven? In order to say Tfilas HaDerech? What's the reason? Concentration. Right? He wants you to stop because it's hard to concentrate and drive the wagon at the same time. So that's why he wants you to stop. The Shulchan Aruch says that if you're riding, you don't need to descend from the animal. The Magen Avraham commenting on the Shulchan Aruch said, best have the animal stop if you can. And then we get to modern vehicles. And the question of, so what do you do in a car? So the Eshel Avraham Bechech, which is a commentary to the Shulchan Aruch, is pre-cars. But he deals with wagons. And he says, if you're a passenger in a wagon, you don't need to stop. Because you can have proper kavana, you can think about what you're doing while you're riding in the wagon. You're not the driver of the wagon. And that's brought for passengers in a car as well. And the argument is that just the opposite, if you were to stop the car, then you would be all nervous and distracted by the fact that you're delaying your trip. So you're better off saying the Tefillas HaDerech, and the same thing is true in terms of one who's in a car, that one who is a passenger would not need to stop, but a driver should stop. The driver should not say Tefillas HaDerech while driving, ideally. Remember that Rav Sheshes disagreed. Rav Sheshes says you may do it while you're traveling, and the Shulchan Aruch notes that it's best to stop. But what if you can't? What if you have to get somewhere urgently? So then you'd be allowed to say it while you're driving. Obviously, someone is on an airplane, the airplane isn't stopping. But also then you're a passenger, unless you're driving the airplane, so to speak.
But the passenger would normally be saying it for the driver.
We're going to get to that. Good question. Hold on for 2 minutes. We have to get to that question. One other question that comes up first. When we make brachos, normally, we have a certain formula. How is a bracha supposed to begin? Baruch Ata Hashem, right? Does Tefillas HaDerech start that way?
No.
What other brachos do we say that don't start that way? There are a lot of them. Well, are you on someone's brachos? How about most of the brachos in Shemona Esrei? Right? Refueinu, Baruch Aleinu, and so on. They don't start Baruch Ata. How about the middle two brachos in Birkas Hamazon? Nodeh and Rachim. Right, they don't start Baruch Ata. A lot of brachos don't start Baruch Ata. So what's going on? So the answer is the principle of bracha hasmucha l'chaverta, which means a bracha that is next to another bracha. And the principle is that if a bracha is created to be said as part of a series of brachos, then only the first one has to start Baruch Ata, and then the other ones piggyback on that. So in Shemona Esrei, the opening bracha of Shemona Esrei starts Baruch Ata, and then all the others in sequence don't need it. In benching, the opening bracha of benching starts Baruch Ata, the next two don't need it. The fourth one does, because that was created later. That's a derabbanan that's added on to benching. But what are we going to do with Tefillas HaDerech? Tefillas HaDerech doesn't have a Baruch Ata. Right? It does at the end, but it doesn't have the Baruch Ata in the beginning. Why doesn't Tefillas HaDerech have a Baruch Ata? So, one approach is brought by Tosfos in source number 10. Tosos is commenting on the Gemara regarding this issue of bracha hasmucha lachavertai, bracha that's juxtaposed with another one, and therefore doesn't need barachata. And he challenges from another bracha called atahu ashla nivracha olam that's said in the morning as part of korbanos, as well as tefilas haderech, as he says shachosem venoposech baruch. It concludes with barachata, but it doesn't open with barachata. So Tosfos says v'yesh lomar, you could say lefi she'en on brachos. These aren't really brachos. It is a prayer. It's not the same thing as a bracha. That's the position that Tosfos offers, which is in contrast with the point that I mentioned in the beginning, where I noted that the Rambam included Tfilas HaDerech in Hilchos Brachos, making it a bracha. Tosfos here says it's not a real bracha. That's the answer. That's one answer. Rabbeinu Yonah, whose view is quoted in the Beis Yosef on the Torah, on Orach Chaim Kuf Yud. He says it doesn't have it because really Tefilas Haderech is an altered form of Shema Koleinu, which ends Baruch Hashem Shomei Tefillah, right? And Shema Koleinu in Shmona Esrei doesn't have Baruch Atah because it's part of Shmona Esrei with a whole series of brachos. Since it's just an altered version of Shema Koleinu, therefore Tefillas HaDerech doesn't have it. However, there are those who disagree. Source number 11. The Shulchan Aruch records the practice of Maharam Meirutenberg in the 14th century, that when he would go traveling, in the morning, he would say Berchos HaShachar, right, which end with Yiratzon Shetagilenu L'Shalom V'Satzidenu L'Shalom, etc. And then he would say Tefillas HaDerech. So he would make it samuch to another bracha. So based on that practice of the Maharam, what people will often do is they will say a bracha on food, they'll eat some food, they'll make their bracha achrona, and then they'll do Tefillas HaDerech. You follow? So they've artificially made it smucha l'chaverta, close to a preceding bracha. That's one way to deal with the problem. It's a good thing to do. If you don't have food available, don't sweat it. Say Tefillas HaDerech anyway. But it's a good way to solve the problem.
We used to do that in Shabbat.
Yeah.
Whenever they travel, they travel in Zamasbana.
There you go. That's why they did it. The various authorities say it's not needed. The Stibler, the Chazunish, the Kafachayim say it's not so necessary. But the Magen Avram and the Mishneh Berurah, who are standard Ashkenazi establishers of halacha, say it's a good thing to do. So it should be done. Okay, well, let's go back to that question, and this is the last one that I wanted to address, and we'll do a quick summary. The question of, does everybody say Tefillas HaDerech? Right? We talked about the car and said the driver should really stop. Well, does the driver need to say it at all? Maybe the driver's spouse sitting in the car next to them can say Tefillas HaDerech and fulfill the obligation for them. So there is a view that suggests that everybody should say Tefillas HaDerech. Take a look, please, at source number 12. The Gemara in Brachos talks about the exemption of women from various mitzvos because they are time-bound active mitzvos, and one of them that the Gemara discusses is Shmona Esrei. They say it's a time-bound mitzvah. Why are women obligated in Shmona Esrei? So the Gemara's answer, as brought in this Yerushalmi in source number 12, is v'chayavin b'tfilah. I added the word nashim in brackets for clarity purposes. V'chayavin b'tfilah. They are obligated in davening, in Shmona Esrei in that case. K'dei she'e kol echad ve'echad mevakish rachmim al atzmo. Because everyone should have a personal relationship with God. It's not good to outsource your tfilah. So what so therefore, based on that, you should also be the one to say your own Tefillas HaDerech. You shouldn't outsource it to somebody else. Further, note source number 13. The Mishneh Berurah there is talking about somebody who doesn't know the words for Kiddush. And therefore, they hear Kiddush from somebody else. And he says, it will be best, he says, Yosir Tov, Sheyomru Achrei HaMavarech VaMekadesh Mila B'Mila B'Lachash. It will be better to say the words of Kiddush word for word after the person who is saying it. In Afshalem, if that's possible for them. Because then everybody agrees that they fulfill their obligation. That's because of a separate concern and context there that's beyond the scope of what we're doing now. That there's a halachic debate. But his point is, it would be best to do this. And he says, aside from any particular halachic considerations he's dealing with, it's a good thing to do. Because it's really hard. He says it's impossible for people to focus and listen well. Rather than hear a bracha from somebody else and have to hear what they're saying and think about what they're saying, you say the bracha yourself, you'll concentrate better. So based on that, it would appear everybody should say Tefillas HaDerech. Now, if you went on those Moshavah trips or camp trips in general, what was the practice? Did everybody say Tefillas HaDerech? No. Generally not. You have one person in front of the bus, they say Tefillas HaDerech, and that's it. So what's going on? The answer seems to be that while it's true that ideally we should have everybody say it, where that isn't going to happen, whether it's because you're dealing with a camp bus where half the kids, if you pass the card around, they're just simply not going to say it, or whether you're dealing with a case where the driver is distracted, it's better then, and you certainly can rely on then, one person saying it, and that person just says Amen. One person can say it, and that'll be sufficient. So indeed, if you don't have the option of stopping the car for the driver to say Tefillas HaDerech, then the passenger can say Tefillas HaDerech, and the driver can answer Amen, and that will fulfill the obligation. So, just to summarize the practical points that we addressed, number one, we said it's only for a trip of at least 4 kilometers outside of town. There's some debate as to whether that's 72 minutes or whether that's literally 4 kilometers. The tendency, I think, is towards the 72-minute side. What if I will always be within 4 kilometers of a town? So, again, there's some debate there. I think the general tendency is to say that, nonetheless, you would still make the bracha as long as you are beyond the range from your town. In terms of when within the trip you say it, it's after you get out onto the road. Ideally, having halted, if you might be distracted, but if you're a passenger in a vehicle, you would not need to halt. We talked about this Baruch Atah issue and the suggestion of linking it to a bracha after eating food in order to make it to give it the Baruch Atah from the food. And we said that ideally everyone traveling should say it, but if that's not doable, then indeed one could say it on behalf of somebody else. Okay? Great. Thank you very much.